Beginning the current daf, Masechet Tzvachim daf Chaf. We begin on the second line down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf, and that is, we were going through from the opening mission of this Perek regarding different types of invalidations regarding the Avoida, like the Mishnah opened up Kol HaZvachim Shekiblu Dam in the title of this Perek. Any carbon where it was received by one of the invalidating factors will be Mechal, will invalidate that service. On that, one of the categories the Gemara mentioned from the Mishnah in previous stuff was Shalei Rochati Dam Reglaim, if he did not wash his hands and his feet from the kir in the morning. Now, related to that halacha, the Gemara brought a machlekes Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon regarding if he did the Kiddush Dam Reglaim in the evening, will he have to do a new one in the morning? Rebbe held yes, as he learns it out from Begishtam, and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon held no, as he learns it out from Bevayim. When you come in, if you're there for 10 days and you never stop doing the Avodah, you don't have to go ahead and do a new one in the morning. So on that machlek, it says the Gemara, Kiyasra of Dimu, and Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Omer B'yechanan, that Baye Ilfa had the following question. L'dirvi ha'ayim, according to the one who says, meaning Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, that ain lina me elis b'kiddush dam reglaim, that there is no invalidating factor of lina. Lina is generally a halacha regarding things which are left off the mizbeach overnight, and they're left, what lina is from the word of lan, of left overnight, where then becomes invalid in the morning. So there is machlekes, as we said, does lina affect when it comes to the next day the sanctification of a dam reglaim? According to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, says that it doesn't affect it in a negative way, meaning one could continue doing the avoda that he had a kiddush dam reglaim from the previous day, even in the next day. So according to that opinion, make kir, the waters in the kir of that receptacle itself that had the waters where they would wash their hands from, mahu sheyifslu, what's halacha? Does those waters become invalid with lina? If, let's say, it was not submerged in the pit of the Bnei HaGoyle, as the Gemara says in Masechet Yumin of Lamed Zayin and Aleph, where they would submerge the kir and its water to be part of the pit underground, to make it part of that submerged water where it's not left overnight, it's bottled to the waters underground. What's the halacha if they did not submerge and it was left out overnight, and now it's already the next day? Do those waters become possible? What's the question? Explains the Gemara. Mi amrina, do we say, Hani lemai, what are these waters in the kir for? L'kiddush adam reglaim, for the sanctification of the kahanim's hands and feet in the morning, or when they come to do the avoda. Kiddush adam reglaim, gufayu le possible lina. And we say regarding that, Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon says, that the sanctified hands and feet do not become possible lina, so the water, which is what sanctifies it, should also not become possible lina. Aydim, or maybe no. Kiven the kaddish lo b'kli sharis, since these waters are sanctified in a kli sharis, that's what the kir is, so miftali, they will become possible, because it's not the same thing as the hands that were sanctified with that water itself, because ultimately the water dries up. And therefore we could say that there's nothing for lina to take effect on. So that's why Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon says there's no lina on the hands of the kahanim and their feet the next day, because what should it take effect on? Their hands, there's no lina on the hands. On the water, there's no more water. The fact that it was sanctified, they don't have to re-sanctify the next day. Whereas the water, yeah, although it's used for the Kiddush Dam Reglaim, but this water itself is Mekudesh in the Kli Sharis, and things which were sanctified, like sacrificial parts, become possible, Lina. So maybe we'll say that the waters in the Kir would become possible. That was Ilfa's Kasha. Says the Gemara, Kiyasad Ravin, when Ravin came, Amr Rabbi Yirmi, he said the name of Rabbi Yirmi, that Amr Abami, the Rabbi Yirmi said that Amr Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan said, where he was the one originally was quoted in saying that Ilfa had the question, that Rabbi Yechanan ultimately said that Hada Pashad Ilfa, that Ilfa ended up answering the question. And that he said, Kemachlekes Bezu, just like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and Rebbe have the machlekes regarding the hands and the feet of the kahanim that were sanctified by the water of the kir, if they become possible or not, Kach Machlekes Bezu, so too they had this machlekes regarding the May kir. Mean to say, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who held that the hands and the feet do not become possible lina, so too the May kir did not become possible lina. Rebbe held that the hands do, so too the waters do. On that, Amla fun of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Bisna. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Bisna said in front of Rabbi Ami, where this whole conversation, including what we're about to say, Ravin said. Meaning when Ravin came, he said that Rabbi Yirmi had said in name of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yechanan, and that Rabbi Yitzchak ben Bisna had said to Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ata Oimer came, Rabbi, you really say this? That Rabbi Yechanan said that Ilfa ended up answering the question and saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon hold that there's no psul lina by the Mekir? However, Elohachi Amr Rabbi Asi Amr Rabbi Yechanan Mishmei Dilfa, but I heard that this is what Rabbi Asi said, the name of Rabbi Yechanan, the name of Ilfa, as follows. Kir Shalei Shaku. The kir, that water spout, the receptacle that had the water that the Mekadesh from, that was not submerged in the pit overnight, Mibe Erev in the evening, Mekadosh Mimena Lavoidis Laila. So in the evening, one could sanctify the hands and feet to do the service of nighttime, which is to sacrifice the sacrificial parts and the fats on the Mizbech. But Olamachar Ein Mekadosh. But the next day, he does not sanctify it. Now, Vavinaba, and he says that we had asked in front of Reb Asi, which he did not answer this question, that this that Ilfa had said, Lamachar Ein Mekadosh, the next day he doesn't sanctify. How do we translate that? What's it going on? What's the subject here? As the Gemara explains, Delay Tzarech Likidush, is it saying that the next day he does not need to sanctify his hands and feet, which he sanctified the night before in this kir that was not submerged? Which is like a Blazer B'Shimon who said, as we said in the previous daf, there's no psul of lina in Kiddush. So yeah, so the next day you don't have to re-sanctify it again. Idem, or maybe, it means that the waters in the kir are not fit for sanctification. Why? The ifsulu b'lina, because even according to Blazer, we say that the waters of the kir do become pasul. Because as Rashi points out, if you would think that the question that was being posed was according to Rebbe, then you wouldn't be able to have the first option saying that, oh, it means ain't tzarech l'kiddush, that you don't need to re-sanctify, because Rebbe holds that even the sanctified hands and feet do become pasul. So the only question that this would be posed in is according to Rebbe Elazar. And that was the question that we had asked, was, what does it mean ain't tzarech, that l'macha ain't mekadosh? Does it mean you don't need to? Or does it mean that you can't, because the water was not submerged overnight? And says, and says Rebbe Yitzchak Babisna, V'loy pashut lan, and Reb Asi did not answer us this question to say that ain't tzar, what does it mean ain't a mekadosh l'machar? It means that you don't need to sanctify the next day because the waters did not become possible. Lean like you said, k'machlekes b'zu, k'machlekes b'zu. He didn't tell us. He didn't answer the question. He didn't know the answer to that. Omar k'pashut le mifshit, and you're coming to answer, and you're saying Reb Elazar says it's not possible, Lina. How can you say that when we have the tradition that it was not answered? It wasn't known what Ilfa had answered, what he had meant when he said that halacha. And you're coming clearly and saying that the Rebbe says it does not become possible, lina, but yet the other tradition we have is that it wasn't verified. It's not clear. We didn't know. Maybe actually meant that you cannot be Mekadosh the next day, someone that, let's say, was not Mekadosh the previous night, like a new kohen, because the water did become possible, not like you wanted to say. But ultimately, what he was saying is that we don't have an answer to that question. So the Gemara continues and says, Tashema, let's bring a raya from Mishnah Masechtas Yuma. Regarding this question, we want to know, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, do we say that just like the hands and the feet of the kam do not become pasul overnight, when lina does not affect it, so to the mekir, or is mekir different? So Mishnah says, Ben Cotton, which was his name, Asa Shneim Asur Dad, he made 12 spouts to have the water come out, likir for the kir, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, that so that the 12 kahanim who do the service of the carbon tamid could sanctify their hands at the same time. That's one thing that he did. Additionally, Afu Asa Muchni likir, he also made, as the Gemara there explains, a wheel, which is that they could bring up and use this wheel to bring up the kir from the pit where it was submerged so that they could lift it up in the morning. Why? So why should there be a wheel? So that they could submerge it overnight, shleyu meimav nefsalim balina, so that they could submerge it in the evening, so that the water will not become pasul by being left overnight, because it's connected to the waters of the springs underneath, and it's nullified in those waters, and therefore it's not considered make here on its own to become pasul balina. Says the Gemara, my love, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, he isn't it talking that even Rebbe Elazar would agree to this halacha, that although he disagrees by the sanctified hands, that yeah, there doesn't become possible the next day with lina because they're dried up, but he would agree to the water itself, like we see, it has to be submerged because else it would become possible with lina. Says the Gemara, no, this Bryce is Rebbe, this Mishnah Masechtas Yuma is going like Rebbe. And Rebbe holds that the hands become possible and the waters of the kir become possible. And that is the Gemara. How can you say the Tana of that Mishnah is Rebbe and not like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, therefore not resolving our question? But Vahama de Reisha Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, for the fact, as we'll prove, that the Reisha of that Mishnah is like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, Sefer Nami Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, the Sefer, which is we just quoted, should also be like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, and thus we should be able to prove that he holds that it would become possible the waters of the kir. How do we know that the Reisha is like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon? The Tani Reisha, we learned in the beginning of that Mishnah over there, that said, Bolai, him, the Kohen Gadol, comes, Eitz L'Parai, to his bull, for the Jewish people, he would sacrifice a sar, for him and his family, he would sacrifice a bull, and he would come there to say confession on it, on Yom Kippurim, like the Pasuk says, Yom Yikta Zayin, V'chibra Ba'adoi Ba'adbeisai, he would confess on it. Now, Upar Ha'yayimid, Bein Ulm Mizbeach, the bull itself was situated, at that point, between the antechamber, which is the opening entryway into the Beis HaMikdash into the Mishkan, into the Heichel, and Ulam Mizbeach between that and the Mizbeach, where some Gemaras have the picture where part of the Mizbeach is facing towards the Ulam. So the par was in that area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Moreover, Reishay Ledarim Upanim L'Ma'arav, his head was facing towards the south, however his face was facing towards the west, towards the Heichel. So therefore, the animal itself was situated from north to south, but its head, as the Gemara explains it, was turned towards the west. The Gemara there asks, well, why didn't they just have the animal situated from east to west? And the Gemara there answers, wouldn't it be appropriate to have the rear of the animal facing towards the Mizbeach? Now, that's where the animal was situated. Va'kayin, the Kayin Gadol himself, Oymed b'mizrach upon the Lamar, he would be standing in the east, and it would be facing towards the west, so meaning his back was towards the Mizbeach, towards the east, and his face was facing towards the Heichel, towards the west, and the Gemara there explains also why that was like that too. Now, however, confirms the Gemara, Man Shamalei Da'amar, Bein Ulam U'Mizbeach Tzafen. Who is the opinion, as we're trying to prove the ratio of that Mishnah, that holds the area between the antechamber, the Ulam, and Mizbeach, was considered the northern part of the Azar, meaning because, as the Perek later over there in Masechet Yomim Daf Mem Gimel Beis explains, that what they would do is, so the Kohen would come there and he would confess, then immediately they would slaughter the par, receive its blood in the Mizrak, and go ahead and then throw the blood. Now, however, we see that obviously that area, which is where they would slaughter and receive the blood, was that area between the Ulam and Mizbeach was considered Safin in regard to the halachas of slaughtering Kachay Kachim, which requires to be done, as we'll see, is a machlokes what Safin is. It has to be done in the north, and this par was a Karmachatzis, which is Kachay Kachim. So who is of the opinion that holds this area between the Ulam and Mizbeach is considered Safin for the laws of Kachay Kachim? It's Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. How do we know that? The Tanlum in the Braisa. Is that Safin? What qualifies for the northern area? North is was not necessarily just if you slice the Mizbeach into quadrants that you'll have north, east, south, and west, or just in the halves that the half towards the right is north and the half towards the left is south, not necessarily. Because the halacha of slaughtering the carbon that's kachay kachim to the north, it defines it, as we'll see, regarding the northern part of the Mizbeach, al yerech ha-Mizbeach. So that's what machlokes is in the Braisa. What's considered the north for the slaughtering of kachay kachim? Says the first opinion, Mikir Mizbeach Tzafayni, from the northern wall of the altar, Vad Kaisla Azar Tzafayni, up until the northern wall of the courtyard, Ukenegat Kala Mizbeach Kulisav, and then opposite that whole entire area of the Mizbeach, all going towards the north, that's considered north for the slaughtering of Kachay Kachim, meaning, but not from the Mizbeach in either direction towards the east or to the west, meaning, even though part of the Mizbeach is in the northern part of the Azara, that's not valid for slaughtering Achatas or any other Kachay Kachim, because the Pasuk says it has to be slaughtered Al Yerech HaMizbeach, on the side of the Mizbeach, which is not the case over here, because side means on the northern side, and here it's going to be on the eastern or the western side. That's the Rabbi Yehuda, he holds is not valid unless it's from the Mizbeach, on the northern part, the northern wall of the Mizbeach, going to the northern part of the Azara. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Maisav, and this is the opinion that we see, is the opinion of that Mishnah Masechet Yomim in the Reisha, he adds on, Av beinu ulam ul mizbeach, even the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, which is the western wall of the mizbeach, as long as it's in the northern part of the azara, but that's going to be valid even though it's on the western wall. But the eastern wall of the mizbeach, which is towards the Shar Nikanor, which is the entryway into the Azara itself, that's not going to be valid even if it's in the northern part of the Azara, because that area is more lower sanctity, because that's a place where Yisraelim could walk and Kahanim could walk. We have 11, the first 11 Amas is where even the non-Kohen could walk from the opening of the gate inward, and then you have the next 11 Amas until the side of the Mizbeach, which is where other Kahanim could walk. Now, Rebbe Meister, if he adds on even the most perimeter, he says, Af, even the northern part of the 22 Amas on the eastern side, which is Malkum Drisus Ragli Kahanim, where the Kahanim could walk, and even further to the east, Malkum Drisus Ragli, so even where the non-Kahanim could walk, opening from the entryway of Shar Nikanor, as long as in the northern part of the Azar. Now, Aval, but everyone agrees, Mina Khalifa is Ulefnim, from the area of the base Khalifas, which is that the Ulam, again, as some Gemaras have this picture, it has this, its width was wider than the Heichel itself, which all was going into the Heichel, which is where the Shulchan was and the Menorah. It had an area that was extended, something like a T, which the T part was 15 amas to the north and 15 amas to the south, more than the area of the Heichal itself that it was the entryway into. And that was called the Beis HaChalifas. Why? Because in the walls of the Ulam, of the antechamber, on the back part, there were windows, which are where the Kahanim would hide their knives. That's why it's called Beis HaChalifas, because in Arabic, a sakin is called a chiluf. Now, so that's how the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Midas. And what we're teaching is that behind the Ulam, although that's in the northern part of the Azara, that's not going to be qualified as north according to everyone for the slaughtering of Kachar Kachim, because since from that area one cannot see the Mizbeach, that cannot be called Al Yerach. So although that area is Kachar for slaughtering Kachim Kalim, but for Kachar Kachim, says the Braisa, HaKol Moedim Shapasla, everyone's going to agree that's invalid. But one thing that we wonder from this Braisa is that you see that who's the one that says in that Mishnah Masechtas Yuma, which we pointed out has been Ul Mizbeach, and that's where they would slaughter the power of the Kohen Gadol, which is a Chatzis, which is a Kachar Kachim, that's going to be considered as Tzafen. That's Reb Elazar ben Shimon. So seemingly he is a Tanya of that Mishnah, and the Sefer says that the Meikir would become Pasul. So how are you saying it's Rabbi if he sees Reb Elazar ben Shimon? Says the Gemara, if it is Reb Elazar ben Shimon, he, Valei Rabbi, do you think it's logical to say that you're gonna prove your point from the Mishnah Masechtas Yuma that's Reb Elazar ben Shimon and not Rebbe, who we want to say that it's like him who, yeah, according to him, we know that the Meikir is gonna become apostle because he holds even Kiddush Adar Megillah becomes apostle in the morning. Is that really logical to say that Rebbe's not gonna agree that the area between Ul Mizbeach is the considered Tzafen that we could say that he's the Tana of the Mishnah and not Reb Elazar ben Shimon? But Hashter Rebbe, if we find it, Rebbe, he adds on, as we learned in the Braisa, Ad Rebbe Yisrael, Rebbe Yehuda Moisev, he adds on even on the area of Rabbi Yehuda, he adds on the area of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon lay Meisiv. You think he's not adding on Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon? In other words, obviously, Rabbi's adding on not just on the area of the one who says that it could be on Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, on the area of the northern wall of the Mizbeach. No, he's obviously adding on even on Rabbi Elazar's opinion. And of course he agrees to Rabbi Elazar, where if he's saying that even the area which has a lighter Kedusha, which on the eastern side of the Mizbeach, that you could slaughter over there, obviously the more severe sanctified area where Yisraelim can't go there and regular Kohanim just can't walk over there, for sure that would be considered Tzafen for the area of Kachar Kachim to slaughter over there. So what are you proving? How are you proving that it's Reb Elazar ben Shimon? We could say it's for sure Rebbe. And therefore, it's not going to prove the point. And that's the Zigmar, no, Anan Hachik, I mean, this is what we were saying when we were removing the option of the Tana being Rebbe. It's not because Rebbe does not hold it's going to be Kasher ben Ul Mizbeach for slaughtering Achatas. Of course he's going to hold it Kasher. But what bothered us was, since Rebbe holds it Kasher, it to be considered Tzafen, even on the eastern side of the Azara, so then Isak, if you're entertained to say that the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Yuma is Rebbe, so why did they have to slaughter it by the Ulam area? Lukma b'makam drisus ragli kahanim u'b'makam drisus ragli yisol. Why didn't they then slaughter it, even this power of the Kohen Gadol and Kippurim, on the eastern side, where the Kahanim or even Yisraelim could walk over there, on the northern part of the Azar, but on the east, which is right in the area when you walk into the Azar, because it's not appropriate to slaughter right in front of the Heichal. It's not so dignified. So that's what was bothering us. It must be not Rebbe, because if it was Rebbe, then why would they have done it? Ben Ulam Mizbeach. That answers the Gemara. It's Elamai. So what do you want to say? You want to say, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. And therefore you want to prove that he holds that the Meikir do become Pasul. And why do you want to say it's Rebbe Elazar? It's because he does not validate the slaughtering of the power in the area of where the Kahanim and the Yisraelim could walk over there. And therefore they cannot have slaughtered over there. Now that says the Gemara back, it's still difficult, because still, Lukma Mekir Mizbeach Tzavayni Ad Kais Lazar Tzavayni, even according to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, you still could have slaughtered closer towards the entryway, where, according to everyone, you could slaughter it from the northern wall of the Mizbeach to the northern wall of the Azara, where that's Tzavayni according to everyone. Elamayis L'chamemes, rather, says the Gemara, rather, what do you have to say on this? Mishum Chul Shudu Kohen Gadol. Must be because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol that he has to do every act of service of Yom Kippurim, so if he gets very weak. And therefore we bring the carbon, his power, all the way there as close as possible, because he has to go ahead and bring that blood into the Heichal and to spray over there. We don't want to make him have to carry the Mizrak that's holding the blood and carry it so far from such a far area. That's why you would say it's over there. So says the Gemara Sahachinami. So here also, when we explain that it's like Rebbe, and therefore no raya to Rebbe Elazar Shimon, it's the same reason. Mishum Chosha, the Kohen Gadol, because the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, of course we could have slaughtered it all the way by the opening of the Shaar Nikanor when you walk into the Azara in the east. But we don't make him have to carry it all the way into the Heichel, and therefore we do Ben Ol Mezbech, and therefore there's no raya to say to Rebbe Elazar Shimon what Allah has would make here, because like we said, we could say the Mishum Seftes Yuma is like Rebbe, not like like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Continuing on these halachas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Kiddush yod v'raglib la trumas hadeshen. The kohen sanctifies his hands and his feet from the kir for the avodah of trumas hadeshen, which was, like the pasuk says, v'heir mas hadeshen. Every single morning they would take a shovelful of the consumed coals of the eaten karbanis on top of the mizbeach, and that kohen would go and take that one shovelful and put it down on the eastern part of the ramp of the mizbeach, on the southern part of the mizbeach, like it says, v'sama eitzel mizbeach, they would put it near the mizbeach, and they would get absorbed in the ground, and that was the first avodah of the avodahs of the day. Now, so says Rabbi Yochanan, the kohen who sanctified his hands and feet for trumas hadeshen, l'machar in tzarch l'kaddish, the next day, because this was done before sunrise, the next day, he doesn't have to sanctify his hands and feet again. Shekfar kiddush mitchil savayda, because he already sanctified his hands and feet from the beginning of the service, because this is the first services of the daytime. So though it wasn't daybreak yet, but he wouldn't have to do a new kiddush damrik line. Says the Gemara, l'man, who's Rabbi Yochanan going like? Ela Rabbi, if he's going like Rabbi, Ha'amar Pasli Lina, like we said in the previous daf, he says that Lina invalidates the Kiddush Demeglaim, which is contingent on Amud HaShachar, like it says, Ad Baker, generally Lina is up until the morning, once it's morning, it invalidates what it was from the previous day. So why, if he was going like Rabbi, would it be kosher? He would have to do a new Kiddush Demeglaim. And Ela Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, and if he's saying he's going like Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, Ha'amar Ein Sarach LeKaddish, Afil Mekan Batzad Asar Yam, as we quoted in the previous daf, he holds that even for 10 days straight, if you stay in the Nazar, you don't have to do a new Kiddush Damrik Laim. So why, Rabbi Yochanan, are you making contingent because he did the sanctification for the beginning of the service of this day? How's that relevant? According to Rabbi, that's not going to help. According to Rabbi Lezer Shimon, you don't need that. Abaya says, La'olam L'Rabbi. Truth is, Rabbi Yochanan is going like Rabbi. Now, Valinam, this invalidation of being left overnight, which we said affects and invalidates the Kiddush Damrik Laim, that is really, the truth is that halacha, although the water's not here, that halacha is drabani. It's a rabbinic decree so that people should not disgrace the halacha which applies to other areas of Lina. Now, but Rebbe agrees that when they took out the kir from the bar, the mikreis hagever, which that was the time when they would make the announcement, which that's the time for trumas hadeshen, like the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechet Yomim Daf Chof Med Aleph, that in that small amount of time, ba'at safra, up until the morning when it was really daybreak, loy pasalina, there, that Rebbe would agree that Lina would not invalidate the Kiddush Damrik Laim. Why? Because the whole thing is really gzeir that people should not be mezalza halacha of Lina. Now, people don't realize in such a small amount of time, it looks like whoever sanctified his hands and feet did it in the daytime. So although it really technically wasn't, therefore Rebbe would agree, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan is going like, that it's not going to be a problem. Rav Amma, he gives a different approach. He says, La'olam Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Really, Rabbi Yochanan is going like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So then we said, so why does he have to say, because the beginning of the Avodis, even if he did it 10 days ago, it doesn't need a new one. Says, V'ra Rabbi Yochanan Devar, but Rabbi Yochanan saw and agreed that it's appropriate the opinion of Rabbi Elazar regarding the one who sanctifies his hands only b'tchilas avayda, only regarding if it's the beginning of the avayda sayayim, that's where he agrees to Rabbi Elazar b'Shem's opinion that lean is not going to be invalidating. But v'loy b'seif avayda, but he does not agree with him regarding the end of the avayda. In other words, it's not going to, he's not going to say it by someone who sanctified his hands at the nighttime to do nighttime services, which is hekter chalav veivar, which is the end of the previous day's avodas. There, he disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, and therefore he said as halacha, yes, like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, but only regarding the beginning of the avodas hayayim, where only their lean is not going to invalidate. Now says the Gemara Meisvi, the Gemara asks, from the following Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, on the opinion of Rava. The Mishnah there is talking about, by the one who does Trumas Hadeshen, where he comes down from the Mizbeach, and he has a shovel full of this part of the leftover burned parts of the karbanis in his hand. Says the Mishnah, so Ru'uhu Achav HaKahan Mashiach, so his brothers, the rest of the Kahan, would see him come down from the Mizbeach, V'hein Rasu Avo, they would run and they would come, Miharu, they would be swift, V'kitri Dim Raglim and the Kir, and they would come and they would sanctify their hands and feet from the Kir. Why? What were they doing? This first Kohen already did Trumas Hadeshen. So either to take out the ashes to the place of, to take it out from the Mizbeach to put it chutz l'machna, or they would gather all the ashes from the sides of the Mizbeach to put it in the pile that's in the middle of the Mizbeach, which was called the tapuach, like an apple, like a pile. As the Mishnah there teaches over there, where they would start with the ashes and put it onto the tapuach. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that we're talking about Kahanim who were doing the service the entire night. And they had already sanctified their hands and feet before they went to do the Hektach Halav Meivar. And still the Mishnah is saying that they have to go out and re-sanctify their hands right now, because maybe what they're doing now with taking out the deshen would go up until the morning time, and then that kiddush from the nighttime is going to become possible by Amud HaShachar. And so we see that in spite of that, now that they're coming to sanctify their hands and feet, after Christ HaGever, it's not daytime yet, because they're coming right after the one who did Trumas HaDeshen, which was still before daybreak. So we see that their kiddush that they're doing after Christ HaGever is going to help. Well, that asks the Gemara as follows, as we continue to Amud Beis. Bishlem l'abai demukim la. We could understand according to Abai that explained this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, that he's karebi, that what? Umay de Rebbe, the Rebbe agrees in Mekreis HaGever at Tzafar le'pasalino. Although Rebbe generally says, as we quoted in the previous stuff, that Lina will pasal the Kiddush HaMeglai and put in that small amount of time from when the announcer calls out, which is when they start this procedure of Trumas HaDeshen, up until daybreak. This Lina, which is only rabbinic, we're not going to invalidate. So Hamani, Rebbe he. So who's the Tan over here in that Mishnah? Is Rebbe. Because we're saying that this Kiddush is not going to become possible by Amud HaShachar. But the inference is, but the Kiddush that they had from the previous night when they were still working, that would become possible. That makes sense. That's exactly what Abaye said. El Rava de Mokum la Kareb Allah's Reb Shimon, but according to Rava, who had never made such a qualification in Rebbe. And he said that actually the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan is in Reb Allah's Reb Shimon, Aval the Rebbe, but according to Rebbe, he would say, Mekreis HaGever Atzav Apostolina, that it actually would become invalid, even what was done after Kreis HaGever, after the announcer called out, up until daybreak. So then Hamani. So who's the Tana of that Mishnah that requires a new Kiddush upon the Kiddush that they had taken the previous night, and that is that the second Kiddush will permit, even though it's done after Kreis HaGever, before Amud HaShachar, as the Gemara explains. E Rebbe, if it would be like Rebbe, why? Pasalina. Even this one, the second one that was done by Kreis HaGever, still, Lina, when it comes to Amud HaShachar, should have validated. As according to Rav, not like Abai. And E Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, if the Tana would be like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Ha'amar, he says, Avil Mekan Vatzasar Yamim Ein Tzarech Lekadosh. He says that even for 10 days, it's not a problem. So even the first one that was done the previous night should not become possible. Why do you need a second one? Rabbi Yechanan didn't agree to Elazar Rebbe Shimon, but here we have a Mishnah. According to Rav, that how he qualified Rabbi Yechanan, this Mishnah can't be like Rebbe, because then the second one shouldn't help. And it can't be like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, because then you don't need a second one, the first one should work. Says the Gemara, L'Olam K'Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. According to Rav, we can answer that the Tana of the Mishnah is like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. What are we talking about over here by these Kahanim that go ahead and do a Kiddush Adayim Glaim after Kreis HaGever? Is B'Kahani Chadati. He's talking about by new Kahanim who didn't do the service in the nighttime. They had not yet washed their hands and feet. That's why they have to do it. But you're right, had they been doing the service the previous night, you're right, it would not require, because Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon holds that one does not need to do it even for 10 days. It's just talking about that they're new Kahanim. Therefore, they came and they ran, and they were Mekadosh Adayim Reglaim, which of course works according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, even from the nighttime, which includes Kreis HaGever, and it does not become possible by Lina, by Amud HaShachar. Continuing on these halachas, he boiled the following question. Yitziyah, if the kohen goes out of the courtyard, which is the perimeter that a kohen is allowed to be in to do the avodah, ma'u shatoyl b'kiddush adayim reglaim. What's the halacha? Will that invalidate his kiddush adayim reglaim that he did from the kir? Meaning, just like by all the laws of kachim, where you have something that was sanctified in the klisharis, that if it goes out of the area of the courtyard, it becomes possible, it's what's known as psul yaitze. Would we say the same thing regarding the sanctified hands and feet of the kohen? As the Gemara explains, im timtzel le'malina le'pasle, if you say, like the opinion that holds, that lina, like Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon, does not invalidate kiddush adayim reglaim, why? Delay parish, because he didn't stop doing the avodah. Avayitziya the parish, but when he leaves the perimeter of the Azara, where he stopped doing the Avayda, maybe there I would say Asuche Masach Daite. He has already removed his consciousness from his hands, and therefore loses the sanctity of Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. Aydam, or maybe then, no, Kivin the Biyadi Lachzer, Le Masach, since it is in his volition, in his ability to come right back in. So because he left Azara, doesn't mean he was Masich Das, and therefore it would not have nullified his Kiddush Adayim Reglayim, and he would not need a new one. Says Yimar Tashima, let's bring a Raya from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Kiddush Yodav Raglav V'nitmu. If a kohen sanctified his hands and feet, and his hands became tamei with something that's not biblical tumah, which if it was biblical, it would make his whole body tamei, rather like if he touched a carbon that's pigul, or was left, or what's called nicer, as the Gemara says, M'sachem Dav Kofchofam Abeis, that there it only makes the hands tamei. So the Halacha says the Brisa is Matvilon, so he immerses his hands, only his hands, V'ein Tzarech Lekadosh, and he doesn't have to re-sanctify his hands and his feet. Yatsu, but if his hands went out, meaning he stuck his hands out of the Azara, Harehin B'Kedushas, and says the Brayer, so they retain their sanctity. So you see, that P'sul Yaitu does not apply to invalidate the Kiddush of Damrek Lime. Says the Gemara, no, Yatsu Yadav Leikim B'Baylam. If it only his hands left, that we didn't have a question, that we knew it's not going to remove the sanctity. Kikim B'Baylam, our whole question was, Yatsu Kol Gufoy. If his whole body goes out of the Azara, my, what's Allah over there? Does that invalidate the Kiddush or not? Says the Gemara, Tashma, let's bring a Raya from the following Brayer. If someone had not yet washed his hands and his feet, says the Braisa, Mekadesh Bikli Sharis, he could sanctify it in a service vessel of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it be the Kir itself or any other Kli Sharis, as the Gemara later on will include, every Kli Sharis is valid to be used for Kiddush Damrek Lahim. And but however, has to be done Bifnim, inside the area of the Azara, because there was a set place in the Azara, like the Pasuk says of the Satzah Sakir, it says over there, Verachatu Memenu, you have to wash from it over there in the distinct place where the Kir is supposed to be, inside the area of the Azara. However, says the Braisa, Kiddush B'Klisharis B'Chotz, let's say he sanctified his hands and feet in the Klisharis, but outside of the Azara, Oy B'Klichol B'Fnim, or even if he did it inside the Azara, but in a non-service vessel, in a mundane vessel, so then it's going to be possible, like we said, because the Pasuk says, Rachatu Mimenu, you have to wash from it, and although we included other vessels, it has to be similar to the Kir itself, which is inside the Azara and the Klisharis. Oy, or, continues the Braisa, so let's say, Shetavu B'Mei Ma'ara, where if he immersed his hands and his feet into a mikvah, which is valid for, let's say, immersion, and the same thing would apply not just for a cave water, but also for live waters like a spring. It's just that generally most of their immersions were in gathered water, what we call a mikvah, which is gathered water. But either way, if he immerses his hands and feet into a mikvah, Vavrani does the service, Avedasa P'sula. His avodah is going to be invalid. In other words, in regard to the last halacha, we don't say that the immersion is significant enough and that's going to help in place of a Kiddush Damrek Lahim. No, you have to do the actual Kiddush Damrek Lahim. The immersion in a mikvah doesn't help. Says the Gemara, but one thing that we see from this price is, Taima, the Kiddush B'Klisharis B'Chutz. Why is it invalid? Because if he sanctified it, even with a Klisharis, but it was on the outside, that's not valid. Sounds like the inference is, HaKiddush B'Fnim V'Yatzi. Let's say he did sanctify from a Klisharis inside, and then he went out. Sounds like Abadasik Shera. That then his Avoida would be valid, meaning they would not become invalid by having left the area of the Azar, because if you would think to say that that would also be possible, then if, as you want to say, if he was Mekadesh inside and went out, that's possible. So if he sanctified in the outside initially, do you have to say, is there any greater Yitzhiya than having done it outside? Obviously, that only when you do it outside it's possible. When you do it inside, it's going to be kosher, even if you leave later on. You see, Yitzhiya is not a possible. Says Gemara, no, not a Raya. Dilma Kiddush B'Klisharis B'Chutz, maybe this that the Tana had to tell us, that if he sanctifies it, even with the Klisharis in the outside, that's going to be possible, is not to say but that if you do it inside and go out, then it's going to be kosher. Because Hei Chidami, what is it talking about? Could go into Apik Yadav Levar V'Kiddush. It's not talking about that if he sanctified when his whole body was on the outside. You're right, that's not necessary to say. It's talking about that even if his body's on the inside and he sticks his hands on the outside and he sanctifies it, that's where it's going to be not kosher. Where the inference would be, HaKiddush B'Fnim V'Yatza, but if he did sanctify totally in the inside and then he went out, meaning the Apik Yadi Labar, that if he stuck out only his hands outside afterwards, then kosher, like we said before, that's going to be kosher. That would be the contrast. Meaning if you originally sanctify with the hands outside, that's not valid. But if you have inside and then you stick the hands outside, yeah, that's kosher. But you still wouldn't have answered the question. But if, let's say, his whole entire body goes out, maybe there, it still would be possible. We don't have a raya from this brisa. So only Rav Zidler, our puppet, says, Tosh Shema, let's bring a raya from the following brisa. Yatza chutz l'mechitzas chemas azar. If the kohen went out of the wall of the perimeter of the wall of the azar, of the courtyard, so im lishais, if it was to delay, so then tarn tefila. Then he even has to immerse himself in the mikvah, which the assumption of the Gemara right now is because of Hesed Hadas, because he lost all consciousness of being in the Azara, and there's the laws of Toma that come because of that, so you have to immerse yourself. Im lefisha, but if he did not intend to tarry, he just did it momentarily, then toin kiddush demaglam, then he does not have to immerse himself in the mikvah, but he does have to do a new kiddush demaglam. So you see, just leaving the perimeter requires a new kiddush demaglam. So Amalei, so on that, Rav Papa said to Rav Zvid, that no, Hachama Yiskina, what are we talking about here in this Braisa, where it said that if he's to delay, he requires a tefillah, doesn't mean because he tarried. It means Kagan Shiyotz Lahasach Raglav. It means to say that he's going to go out and relieve himself, what's called Gedalim, to relieve himself where he has to go to the bathroom for has feces, which that's the parallel that the Sefer is saying that means that he has excrement. But the Sefer is making the contrast when it says lafi shah, that then you need to do kiddush demeglayim. That doesn't mean that he just went out. It means he went out temporarily because it's not as long as when one has to relieve himself from the rear. Rather means because ulahatul mayim, when he's going to urinate. With that, because as the Gemara says, Masechta Yudin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, it's a mitzvah for a person after that he urinates to rub his aver with his hands to get off the droplets that they don't drop on his foot. Because if it would drop on the foot, it would look like that this person does not have the strength of his member, which would give a psul of Kriya Shafcha, and then people would say that his kids are not his kids. As the Gemara there explains, that's why you have to be Kaddish Dan Raglayim, because of urination. But not because of going out. Maybe if you're not, it would not require a new Kiddish Dan Raglayim. That is the Gemara. How could you say that's what the Braisa means when it says, if it's Lisha, it's Olafi Shah, Habahed Yikatanila? But the Seif of that Braisa explicitly says the cases you just said that is describing. It continues and says, Kala Mesech Raglav, Toin Tfila. If someone went to relieve himself from the rear, then he needs to immerse himself in the mikvah. Chalamat Lamayim, and if he's urinating, Toin Kiddush Demaglayim, then he has to go ahead and do Kiddush Demaglayim. So how could you say that's what the Reisha was talking about? Says the Gemara, Tani B'Hadim Mefarish. Yeah, it said it and then explained it, but really, it doesn't mean just going out momentarily. It means momentarily because he just went to urinate. That's where you have to have Kiddush Demaglayim. But Kabi, if he just went out, it does not require. So says Gemara says, Toshimah, let's take a different raya from the Machlokes Amayram regarding the para, regarding the service of the para, Duma, the red heifer, which they would do actually out of Yerushalayim on Har Mishka, on Mount Olives, where Reb Chiya Bar Yosef Amar, he says, Mekadosh b'kli sharis b'fnim, the Yetzer, the kind that was doing the avodah, the paraduma, would sanctify his hands and feet in the service vessel, like the kir, inside the azara, and then he would go out. So obviously you see that it does not invalidate the kiddush demeglayim once you leave the area of the azara, because he would go do the avodah of paraduma outside of the azara. Rabbi Yechidam, he says even more than that, he says afil b'chutz. Actually, the kind that was doing the avodah of paraduma could even do it outside the azara, afil b'kli chayil, even in a mundane vessel, even if it's a vessel made out of earthenware. But one thing we see, at least from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that although he says it has to be a full-fledged Kiddush, he would go out afterwards, and obviously that does not invalidate it. On that, Rabbi Papa says, not a raya. Shani Para, the avoided by the Paradum, is different. Since all its services is done outside of the Azara, so l'apostle b'yitzia, therefore leaving the Azara, obviously does not invalidate it. So on that, if that's the case, then what's the purpose of sanctifying it in the Azara if anyways you're going out? So the Gemara, because we still require that it has to be similar, it's called the Chatzos, it has to be similar to the Avodah inside, therefore we do our full-fledged Kiddush. But yeah, leaving is not going to be a right to regular Avodah. Maybe regular Avodah leaving would invalidate. Here it's not going to invalidate because all the Avodahs are anyways done out of the Azara. So the Gemara did not resolve that question. Ibai led the following question. Tumah, which the assumption right now of the Gemara is that it means if the Kohen's hands became tummy, but not his whole entire body. What's going to be, will that affect, in a negative way, to undo the sanctity that he had by washing his hands and his feet? As the Gemara explains, if you say, which we didn't just answer that question, that leaving is not going to invalidate the Kiddush Demeglayim, maybe then we could say the reason is because the Gav Achazi, because the Kohen is still valid to go right back into the Azara, and he didn't remove his consciousness, and he did not become puzzled from his Kiddush with Hesach Hadas. So therefore, maybe by Yitzhi it's not puzzled. Aval Hacha, the Gav Lechazi, but here where the person is not valid anymore, his tummy can't do the Avodah. So maybe we'll say, Asuchim Masach Daite, he removed his thoughts of it, which thus invalidates the Kiddush. Or maybe, no, keeping the Hadachazi, since ultimately, by immersing himself in the mikvah, he will become to go ahead and do the Avodah. So Dakle, so maybe he is still meticulous in his Kiddush, and he is careful from touching anything which is not clean, and therefore he has not removed his consciousness, and maybe even though he became Tamei, it's although he has to do a Tefillah, he will not require a new Kiddush Dan Raglayim. Says the Gemara Tashima. The Gemara says, let's bring a raya from the Braisa we had brought previously regarding the question of Yitzia. The Braisa says, Kiddush Yod Beragla Benitmu, if he sanctified his hands and feet and they became Tamei, Matvilon he immerses them, Ve'ein Tzarech LeKaddush, and he does not need to, so you see you don't need Kiddush, even though they became Tamei. So says the Gemara, unlike what we had thought the question was, no, Nitmu Yod of Limibaylon. You're right, we don't have a question regarding if only the hands became Tamei, which is not biblical Tamei, where there, yeah, one would not require new kiddush. Ki miboyel, and our question was nitma kol gufa, if his whole entire body became tummy. That is the Gemara on the question of kol gufa, his whole body? Typically, but then there should be enough, kiven de boyel mev herav shemesh, since he has to wait till sundown. Asuchim masach dait, in contrast to tumas yidayim, there all you need is tefillah, and then you're good to go back. So there we could say he's not masach das. If seeing his whole body became tummy, so it's not enough for the tefillah, he has to wait till sundown. Of course it's masach das. He's got to wait hours until he's valid again. Says the Gemara, no. Good going. Our question is, for example, the Idmi Samach Lishkei Sechama, where he became tummy right before sundown. There, it's very little amount of time. He could tovel and then he'll have Harav Shemesh right away. Maybe there, that's where our question was. Maybe it was not Masir Das, and therefore it would not require new Kiddush. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring another raya also from what we had brought previously, the Machlekes Amarim regarding Parah, regarding the Parah Duma. Rabbi Yisuf Amar, he says, Mikadish Bikli Sharis Befnim V'yaitzei, the kohen who was doing the Avodah by the Parah Duma, would do it inside with the Kli Sharis in the Azar, and then he would go out to Har HaMeshcha. Rabbi Yechonam, he said, no, fill b'chotz, even on the outside, fill b'klichal, even the mundane vessel, fill b'mekidah shel cheres, even the earthenware jug, as we continue on top of Chav Alv and Alv, says the Gemara, now para, regarding the avodah of the paraduma, after the kain did this kiddush dam reglayim, the halacha is, the temuyim mitaminele, that actually, they would go ahead and make him tummy. And then, after that tefillah, he would go ahead, which he would do on Har HaMishcha, as the Mishnah explains in Masechtas Parah in the third parak. After that tefillah, then he would automatically go and do the Yavaida of setting up the pyre and burning the Parah Duma. That's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Parah that says, Metamen hoyu ha-koyin ha-service ha-parah. They would first make the koyin that would burn the Parah, the Parah Duma, they would make him tummy. Umat bil naisei, and then they would immerse him in the mikvah, where just to make him a tefillah yayim. And obviously we see that this was done after the Kiddush Dam Reglayim. Why did they do this? Lahitzi milibin shel tzedukim, to remove from the opinions of the Sadducees. Shahayim, that they said, b'meravi shemesh ha'isenasa. It had to be done with a kohen that had sundown. So to remove from that opinion, and to show that it's actually kashrut with tefillah yom, they specifically made him tameh, immersed him, and then they went and did the avodah. So you see that the tumah did not invalidate the kiddush that he had done beforehand. Shmamina, so you can infer from this, loy pasul about tumah, the tumah does not invalidate the kiddush, because he first did the kiddush, then they went and they made him tummy, then he tabled, then he did avoida. So you see that the tumah of his body was brought on him after the kiddush, and thus we see tumah does not invalidate. So the Gemara, no, shani para, the paradum is different. Hail the tful yom loy pasul. Since unlike most avoidas, being a tful yom does not invalidate it. So therefore we see that so too its kiddush is not the same as the kiddush of other avodas, so that's why it becoming tummy is not going to be invalidating it. But maybe we could say but other avodas where it's not valid by tefillah yom, actually becoming tummy would invalidate the kiddush. So that is the Gemara, if that's the case, so then if you're saying the kiddush is not the same as all other kiddushin of yidayim reglayim, so what's the purpose of going ahead and doing the kiddush in the first place? Like the Gemara answered earlier, we need it to be like, similar as much as possible to regular carbon. So therefore they went and did a Kiddush, but the truth is it could still be fundamentally different. And therefore the Gemara didn't answer either regarding the Psul of Tuma, what would be regarding a regular Kayin and regular Avaida, if the Kayin would become Tame after Kiddush of Damar Klayim on his whole Guv, would that invalidate the Kiddush or not? The Gemara does not answer that question.